Before we prepare for meditation, I'd like to introduce our guest speaker for today, Dr. Terrilyn Curry Avery. Dr. Terrilyn L. Curry Avery is the creator of Pastology, the cutting-edge field that focuses on the synergy between pastoring and psychology. She holds a doctorate of philosophy from Hofstra University and a master of divinity from Yale University. She is a pastologist, speaker, and facilitator of advanced therapy and workshops. Dr. Curry Avery has traveled the world speaking and facilitating workshops. She invites and inspires others to discover and live out their purpose. Dr. Curry Avery is the author of Sacred Intelligence, The Essence of Sacred, Selfish, and Sacred Relationships, and the host of Sacred Intelligence TV, a public access program. She is the founder of Sacred Intelligence LLC, a private practice in New London, Connecticut, and an adjunct professor at Connecticut College. She also holds a Master of Science degree from American University and a Bachelor of Science degree from Howard University. HU. For our meditation and message today, let us give a warm unity welcome to Reverend Dr. Terrilyn L. Curry Avery.
Good morning to you. I am so delighted to be here with you this morning. I am grateful to be able to share this space with you. And I am so grateful for the choir this morning. That was beautiful. Amen. I'm grateful to Reverend Sylvia for allowing me this opportunity to share with you this morning. So I invite you, if you will, do you have your Bibles? You have your cell phone with a Bible on it, and you want to follow along with a passage that I would like to read to you, to turn to John 5, verses 1 through 14. John 5, verses 1 through 14. And it reads us thus. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these laid many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And I will read verse 4 because most Bibles do not have verse 4. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whosoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well from whatever disease that person had. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take up your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take it up and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, remove all thoughts and distractions from our minds. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. This is a rich passage, and there is much for us to learn about the power of God. But there's also much for us to learn about us. From the very beginning of this passage, we read information that is valuable to our healing process, to the achievement of our desired goals. According to verse 2 and 3, Jesus goes to Bethsaida, and there by the sheep gate laid a multitude of people, lame, blind, sick, and so on, waiting to be healed. And when we parse this story, one of the first things that I notice is that all of these people are gathered by the sheep gate. For me, that's significant, because if you think for a moment, what must that have been like? Stinky, smelly sheep on one side, loud sheep on one side, and a multitude of people waiting to be healed on the other side. Think about the lengths they had to go to get their healing. It didn't matter that it was next to a sheep gate. It didn't matter that they had to endure some unpleasantness. This place was known for healing. So it gives me the impression that sometimes we might have to step outside of the normal things that we need to do in order to achieve our goals or to get our healing. Sometimes we might have to endure some situations we don't like in order to be healed. But what I also find amazing is that on the one hand, we have a multitude of people, and on the other hand, we have a multitude of sheep, and along comes the good shepherd, the one who says that my sheep know my voice. The shepherd who is able to take full care of his sheep, reminding us that we are never alone in our challenges. The second thing that we learn in this text when we parse it out is that our healing comes in due season. Because the text says in verse 4, "For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water," or troubled the water. There are times in our life that we are waiting on our healing or some type of change to occur in our lives. And perhaps we pray, we meditate, we set our intentions and so on, but we haven't gotten the response that we wanted. It doesn't mean that it isn't coming. It might just mean that it's not the season. The way is being prepared, and our resources, our supports, our angels, if you will, are on the way in due season. You see, this man had been sick for 38 years. That's a long time, but he had to keep coming back to the pool. He couldn't give up. He couldn't grow weary while he waited. And some of us, only for a short while, we wait on God in prayer. And then we give up because we can't be bothered. We have to look for another way. But our healing, our changes, and our circumstances come in due season. And when our healing comes, we have to be ready. You see, because the next verse tells me that if we're not ready, someone else will grab our blessing. Because verse 4 says that whosoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well from whatever disease that person had. Now, I want you to hold to this point a little longer, and we'll return to it. All of these verses in this text are significant for us to study. I want to focus this morning more on the conversation between Jesus and this man. And I wonder if you can find yourself in this story. And so I'd like to ask you some questions this morning. If you so desire, you can write them down so you can study it a little bit later. Let's look at verse number 5 and 6. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed?" In my version, I would ask, "Do you want to change? Do you want your circumstances to be different? Do you really want what you say you want?" Because I wondered, why would Jesus ask him, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed?" Wasn't he sitting there like all the other invalids? Wasn't that the point? To be healed? But I think Jesus was asking this invalid the same thing that he asked many of us who walk around in our afflictions. Some of us walk around like this man for 38 years in afflictions. You know those afflictions that paralyze us in some way. "I'm just not good with this or that. I can't exercise because I have health problems. I have some other medical conditions that prohibit me. I can't control my anger. I can't get past the guilt or shame of the abuse that someone else perpetrated on me and told me it was my fault, or even living with the shame of the behavior of harassment or abuse that you did to someone else. Or I'm this way because my father was this way. My mother was this way. They didn't love me." We are afflicted with emotional problems, physical ailments, spiritual despair, and social ills. We cry out to God, begging for healing. We claim we want to do better, but often we are just sitting around the pool with the other invalids. But Jesus is saying our healing begins with our desire to be healed. Jesus is saying, how bad do you want it? Do we really want what we say we want? We look the part. We act the part. We come to the pool every week, sometimes multiple times. But are we showing up? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Oh, let me say this prayer or affirmation over here. Quote this scripture. Post a positive message or attend a class on spiritual growth. But do we really want to change? And there are times in our lives that we must do all these things, even when we don't feel like it, because it is what helps to sustain us. But at some point, our belief has to kick in. And when it comes to our healing and changing our situation, the question is, do we really want what we say we want? Do you desire it? I wonder if Jesus was also saying to this man, "You have become so comfortable in your afflictions that you really don't want to change. Maybe you're scared to come out of your affliction, but Jesus is noticing you among the thousands and millions of people who, like you, are waiting by the pool so the waters can be troubled and stirred. We are waiting but not really wanting to change. We are comfortable with our stories. We don't want to rewrite them. And so I want you to ask yourself today, do I want to be made well? Do I want what I say I want? As we move into verse 7, I'd like you to consider this question. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." We make so many excuses for why life hasn't changed us. I wonder what we are doing when we get to the pool. Are we standing around waiting on someone else to help us take the final plunge? Someone else got there first and they got the job. Why should I apply for the position? Management already knows who they want for the job. Or I'm not good enough. Nothing good ever happens to me. I don't really know the latest technology. I can't work as fast as they can. I don't have the resources to invest in myself right now. I have too many obligations to start my own business. I don't know how to do this or that. The list goes on and on. But Jesus is asking you and me, do we want what we say we want? We have to want our circumstances to change bad enough to do whatever it takes to go the extra mile. It might require some self-denial or going through hard times. It might require moving some other people out of our way. It might require us asking someone else to assist us. It might require us going against the grain and thinking outside of the box. It simply might require us having the courage to ask for what we want. Because people can't read our minds. We can't assume they know what we want. This lame man was there for 38 years, and I want you to think about his excuses. How did he get to the pool in the first place? Whoever brought him to the pool can help him get in the water, can they not? I ask you, is there only one way to be healed or to get what we want? Look at this scripture a bit more closely. The man said, I want to be healed, but someone else gets there before me. So if we examine what is taking place, our healing is right there, but it's limited by the steps we take. As I just read to you, the angels of God came down, they stirred the water, and those that were able to get in were healed. Those that couldn't get in were not healed. So even though the water was so close, healing could not take place without fully immersing oneself in the water. There was no half-stepping. You can't get your healing by proxy. You can't get what you want in life by proxy. So this verse tells us that we have to look for the full opportunities. If we're too busy looking at what we can't do, we will never be healed of our afflictions and see what we can do. We won't be able to move beyond this point to go to the next point and the next point because our view is too myopic. Sometimes we have faith that our change will happen. But we also have the audacity to think we know how God is going to do it or how the universe will conspire to fulfill our dreams. There's only one way for our circumstances to change. And when we think in that way, it limits our possibility because it's limited thinking and it's an excuse. We must be open to multiple ways of healing because one day something is going to happen so magnificent that we're going to be healed, that we are going to manifest our greatness, that we're going to have what we want. The Bible says that this man immediately rose and walked. Immediate healing, no getting into the pool. Jesus basically said, I got this. You don't have to go through the steps that the world has designed for you. There is healing, there is power, there is cleansing in my name. So your healing may not even come as you expected. Your change may not come as you expected. Your greatness may not come as you expected it to come. Just desire it and don't make excuses. We have the power within us to move mountains. And Christ said elsewhere in the scripture that we would be able to do greater things than he. So we have access to the multiple ways that we can have what we want. We just have to stop making excuses. Now you see, when Jesus told him to take up your mat and walk, now he didn't make an excuse after that because it was the Sabbath day. And he didn't say, I can't carry my bed on the Sabbath. He took advantage of the healing that Christ offered. So are you taking advantage today? Or are you making excuses? Do you really want what you say you want? And then my next question for you is, after you have been healed or seen the changes that have occurred in your life, large or small, do you give God the praise for your healing, for your change? Do you thank the giver of your blessings? Interestingly enough, this man didn't even seem to recognize who Jesus was. He didn't stop to really think about where his healing came from. In fact, we don't get the impression that he even asked Jesus any questions about how he could be healed. He just knew he was healed. He went to the temple. Now, I believe that he went to the temple because it was customary. It was required after you were healed to go and show yourself to the priest so that they can examine you. But I believe he went for another reason. He didn't forget to go and give God praise for his healing. He didn't dance all around and show off to everybody thinking, after 38 years, I'm free of these chains that bound me. I have to let everybody know. No, this man went to the temple. And sometimes we get so excited about the new things taking place in our lives that we forget to thank the giver. We forget to thank the one who blesses us. We forget to show gratitude to God, our sacred source, the universe. You see, some of us only want to fit God and our sacred source into our lives when we have time for it. We try to schedule everything else, or try to schedule God and the universe into that limited time. But really, in order for us to grow spiritually, in order for us to manifest our greatness, in order for us to have everything that we want to have, our connection with the sacred needs to be priority. And then everything else will fall in line. I know that we have things to do in our lives, and I know that we're all busy, and I know that even now in this service, some of you are already thinking about what you're going to do after service. You're thinking about what you're going to eat. You're thinking about whether you're going to go to the workshop after this. You're thinking about a multitude of things right now. But here's the thing. We have to give God our full attention. Our enlightenment during this short time on Sunday morning, we need to make connections throughout the week so we can connect with that divine part of us in our daily lives. We need to spend time in prayer or meditation. We need to spend time reaching out to God, whether we're doing a meditative walk in the morning, whether we're journaling, whatever it is that we need to do. We need to make our enlightenment a priority. And if we put this divine guidance first in our lives again, if we think and act from this divine awareness, we will manifest greatness. We will have what we want to have. And then we must be sure to give credit to the giver of our blessing. And that includes the people in our lives who bless us as well. Are you remembering to express gratitude to the giver of your blessings? And finally, I ask you this question again. Do you want to be made well? Do you really want what you say you want? Verse 14 says this, that Christ is not only concerned with changing our situations, he is concerned with changing our souls and our spirits, our inner being. That's why he says, go and sin no more. Something worse will happen. Christ wants us to get it right. Because as you see from this verse, there's some things that we do in this life that will kill us. Now, not all illnesses that we experience are the result of some sin, but it seems as Christ was talking to this person, he identified whatever was going on with him with his sin. But you see, like this man, we engage in activities that are not good for us, that cause us physical, mental, and even spiritual demise, and we die or become dead inside. And Christ is saying to us, let go of any of those things that do not serve you, that are not good for you. Don't let them bring you down. I've healed you. Don't return to your old ways of thinking, your limited beliefs, your old habits. You see, because we all make promises when we are down, do we not? We all make promises when we're going through a challenge. We'll say, God, if you get me out of this mess, I won't do this again. I won't smoke again. I won't drink again. I won't touch that weed again, because we know some people do engage. If you get me out of this situation, I won't act this way again. God, if my wife gives me one more chance, I won't break our vows anymore. I'll show her more respect. God, if you heal me from this sickness, I promise to take better care of my body and honor it as a temple. God, if you just heal me, I'll live right. I'll treat people with kindness. I'll ask for forgiveness, learn how to forgive. I won't grumble and I won't complain. Christ wants us to be whole. God wants us to be whole. The sacred wants us to be whole. We can heal from our physical wounds. but we can still be lost in a place of despair because we need to work through some of the psychological and emotional things that bind us and that impact our spiritual healing. God wants us to be made whole this morning. And so I ask you this question. Do you want to be made well? Do you really want what you say you want? Do you really want what you say you want? Amen. Thank you. Thank you.